Well, I'd like to open the session by welcoming everybody from across Canada and anyone from outside of the country. We usually do have quite a few participants here from outside of Canada. And for those of you who are not familiar with CIDR, all of our sessions, including this one, are recorded and available from the CIDR site. This one will be available, the Illuminate recording will be available within the next few days. The PowerPoint presentation will also be posted there if you're interested. So if you'd like to go back and review the session, or you know of a colleague who wished to attend today but wasn't able, I'm going to post the link right now to the recordings. There you go. And you can use it or pass it on, okay? Now I'd like to introduce our presenter, Dr. Martha Burkle. Dr. Burkle is the Cisco Research Chair in e-learning at State Polytechnic. And as a little background, Dr. Burkle completed her PhD on technology policies and higher education in 2003 at the University of Sussex. Then she moved to Mexico, where she was associate professor at the doctoral program in humanities at the Monterrey Institute of Technologies University in Mexico City. And then in 2006, she made the very chilly move up to Calgary and assumed the Cisco Research Chair position at SAIT, where she's been doing research on the impact of information technologies in teaching and learning. Some of her most current research has covered the impact of mobile technologies for just-in-time training for students in the avionics and respiratory therapy programs. Also, the use of Second Life to facilitate hands-on learning for students in the robotics and media programs, and apprenticeship students' e-readiness. Her future research projects include the evaluation of virtual simulations for students in the trades, the use of learning technologies to support Cisco Academy programs at a distance, and the use of mobile technologies for students in the health and public safety program. Now, Dr. Burkle will be pausing periodically during the presentation to invite discussion, and at that time, we invite you to use the audio or to pose questions or comments, and you can do this by clicking on the microphone icon in the bottom left corner to speak, and then please remember to click on it again so that others can use the mic, because we have it set up for one speaker at a time. If you don't have audio capabilities, then please post your comments or questions in the text box. Now, we're hoping to end the presentation portion a little early today so that we have time afterward for some of us to meet up in Second Life to take a look at the State Island and continue the discussion there. So we'll post the links to the State Island, which is called Slate, at the end of the presentation, and hopefully most of you can join us there. Now I'd like to say welcome to Martha and thank you for taking the time to present to CIDR today, and I'll hand over the mic to you now.
Well, thank you so much. Very, very excited to be here, very happy to be here sharing what we have done here at SAIT in Second Life, and I hope my Spanish accent is not that bothering. Actually, I was thinking that after Penelope Cruz won the Oscar very recently, now having a Spanish accent has become a little bit trendy. So anyways, yes, let me start with the presentation. As Lynn was saying, I'm going to pause every so often so we can have some comments or we can have some questions from the audience. And again, I emphasize the fact that after the presentation, we are going to go to Second Life and have a real life demonstration of what is happening there. So let me begin giving you the in-depth of the presentation. We are first going to describe a little bit Second Life, how many users, since when it is there, what are the possibilities, and then we are going to explore the literature review on this, what are the authors saying and what are people reflecting or researching on. Then we are going to move and we are going to describe a little bit the expectations or the learning needs of the next generation and how Second Life fits with this. Then I'm going to tell you a little bit about the research possibilities in Second Life, both for universities, higher education institutions, and polytechnics, and what are the challenges from a polytechnic perspective to have Second Life as a learning tool. Finally, we are going to talk about SLATE, which is Second Life SAIT in faith in Second Life. And then I am going to introduce you about our research framework, what we have done so far, what are the research questions that we have, what is going next. And finally, I'm going to take you all, hopefully most of you, to Second Life so we can have a tour of the facilities there. So having said so, let me ask you, there is a question there. Shall we go to the question, Lynn?
Sorry for interrupting. I was just noticing you're quite staticky. Sorry, your microphone's quite staticky, and I'm having a little bit of difficulty hearing you, so I was going to ask you to turn up your volume a little bit on your microphone. And if you want to go ahead and ask the question now, that's fine.
Okay, hope it's going to be much better now. Yes, I'm trying to adjust the volume here, and I'm going to be aware when the green lines come. Anyway, do you have any questions with regard to the index or any comments so we can move forward to the next slide? Okay, then let's start the presentation. So, Second Life is a three-dimensional virtual world designed by Linden Lab in San Francisco. And it's really amazing all the things that even the creators of Second Life have discovered as they were there using the software. And particularly the particular interest that this group has focused on the educational arena. It was first released in 2003, and now statistics show that there are more than 122 educational institutions, and I can mention some names here, Harvard University, New York University, Ohio, which has a fantastic campus in Second Life, San Diego. And really what people are discovering is that Second Life is a safe environment to enhance experiential learning, and that allows individuals to practice skills, try new ideas, and learn from everywhere, from anyone, everywhere, combining technologies with interaction with people from all around the world. The latest statistics about Second Life show that there are more than 12 million users, and these statistics grow day by day. And the cost of an island is around $1,600 Canadian dollars or U.S. dollars. But by the way, educational institutions have a discount of 50%, so it's really affordable and it's a very good place to interact, as we are going to say later on. And also, on the other hand, let me mention that virtual reality simulations are becoming very prevalent in curricula and research. There are several institutions, as you may imagine, for example, NASA has a huge simulation center, and where using virtual reality simulations has become very trendy in the educational arena or sphere. So Second Life is a combination of technologies, and this is what makes very rich the environment. It combines, as you can see in the graphic here, synchronous learning environments where students and instructors are learning at the same time in real time. It also combines or incorporates Web 2.0 technologies such as blogs, chatting possibilities, wikis, access to Facebook, all of those Web 2.0 technologies that have become very appealing for our next generation of students. Also, of course, it's a three-dimensional interface which possibilitates the interacting with everybody who is there as if we were in real life. And you can see objects, you can explore a learning object from all the 360 perspectives, learning from the object as you explore it. And finally, it's a social networking tool that allows you to connect with different people or different researchers around the world, and also allows you to build some networking presence. Now I'm going to dedicate some time to this following slide here, and I'm going to explore the different research that has been done in these different areas where Second Life has a presence. Like collaboration, we are going to explore how we can collaborate or how people can collaborate in Second Life. We are also going to analyze how to be the network inside of it. We are going to analyze also how Second Life can promote a participatory culture and how this is used by students in the U.S. particularly. We are going also to see what is it about Second Life that is that facilitates an immersive experience for learning. And both these both for professional development and for simulations and gaming. I'm going to be a little more particular on this when we go to the next slide. So to begin with, let me talk a little bit about Megan Conkling and her research at North Carolina Elton University. And what she has discovered, what she has researched is about Second Life as a collaborative tool to promote students' engagement. So as I was saying before, this is a very, very motivational space where we can interact with our students in the facing the next generation. Also, Conkling in her research shows that Second Life can be a platform for software development. She is, in fact, the Dean of Computer Sciences, and she is teaching software development through Second Life. And again, Second Life promotes or is used also in her course, which is called Imagine Technologies. This is a course for undergrads, so she's using it as an open source to promote collaboration. So as again, as a collaborative tool for teaching and learning. Then what about networking? Second Life is really an online meeting place. It's a virtual place for the classroom where you can interact with your classmates, where you can interact with classmates from all over the world, where you can do networking with friends. Actually, somebody has described Second Life as an email where you have an avatar and you have real presence about with your avatar in the Second Life world. And so networking is very, very important, and this was actually the original idea with which Linden Labs created this space for people to interact and interact in a more dynamic way, much more than Facebook or much more than email, of course. Then the next one, we have here an author called Kate Farrell. And Kate Farrell is a college teacher in Edinburgh. She has been teaching K-12 students. And she is working with children, trying to use Second Life as a participatory culture, where all the participants share what they have, where all the participants learn from each other. It's a very convenient space to share and to learn. Actually, all the authors that I mentioned here, in some way or other, as you may imagine, they are all avatars or quite defensors of good participants in Second Life. So you can all go back and research what they have done so far. Now, another very important use of Second Life is an immersive experience. And as the slide here mentions, these two authors, Antonacci and Modaris, they have been researching about the potential possibilities of Second Life as simulations and gaming. So really, really, you are playing and you are learning. You are in a link to a learning, to an avatar, and this avatar is doing the learning for you or learning with you. And of course, it facilitates being there, being in the context of where the learning takes place. And I think this is a fantastic opportunity for that Second Life provides. And of course, it encourages the learning process. And we are going to talk a little bit later about the so-called next generation of the digital natives. And we are going to discuss how Second Life can be for them an appealing place to go and learn. So when you are thinking, why is it that my students don't listen to me when I am lecturing, then Second Life facilitates that. Second Life is a space. And really what I have also read in the literature is, funny enough, there are students that would rather go to a traditional lecture where they sit down and listen to a lecture for an hour. They would rather do that in Second Life than do it in real life. So like the avatar gives the students any kind of endless possibilities to interact with others, to be there, to participate. For those very shy students, what Second Life has proved to be the platform to be there, to interact with the instructor, and to interact with others. That's another very, very interesting thing. Anyway, so now let's talk a little bit then about the digital natives or the next generation. Second Life really, with regard to the environment where they learn, Second Life is very much indeed connected to their expectations. It's a technology-rich environment. It facilitates multiple representations. It is connected now that they are using their mobile phones all the time, or they are using their iPods to listen to music. But Second Life, it is a place where everything is connected and where everybody is connected. And if you consider your students as multitask students, then well, Second Life again possibilitates this multitasking, this approach to learning, and the possible interaction with lots of people in many places at the same time, simultaneously both asynchronous or asynchronous learning. Now, what are the advantages of using Second Life in education from this digital native perspective? Well, Second Life is a place that promotes innovation. It promotes and encourages the instructors to be innovative, to bring new ideas into the classroom. It's as some have called Second Life, the literature becomes alive. You are there, you are exploring with the literature. And as some of you may know, Second Life, for example, if you visit a museum, well, allows you the possibility of see the piece of that particular museum from 360 perspectives, or interact with it in different perspectives. Also, of course, allows simulations, real-time simulations, where your students can interact with patients' needs, with construction facilities, with construction challenges, or with a building something challenge. So really, Second Life facilitates all of this. And finally, also thinking about a visual student, Second Life also is a visual platform. So students go there and they can see what is going on. They can not only hear the instructor, but see what the instructor is saying, what the instructor is teaching them. This is also a very, very interesting thing to do in Second Life. And of course, I don't want to appear to be like promoting Second Life only. I'm going to talk also about the challenges of Second Life in education. And I'm going to talk about all the research possibilities. So please don't think I'm selling you the idea of Second Life. Even if I am very enthusiastic, I think we also need to have a little bit some criteria and some, be a little bit speculative about it. So what are the challenges to use Second Life? From a polytechnic environment where students need to learn hands-on learning, well, Second Life has proved to be an interesting place to go there to, you know, to experiment with the tools. When we go to the island, to the manufacturing and automation island in Second Life, we are going to show you how we have overcome some of these challenges. But again, since the software is an ongoing project and there are many, many things to be explored or to be designed yet in the software, so still Second Life has the possibility for students to interact in hands-on learning. And of course, also Second Life has a challenge on how do you kind of are aware of the fact that students are really learning and not only having fun. Well, I think this is a challenge to be there to promote students' engagement, but to also consider the possibility of having students there for learning only and for improving their learning. Now I try to provoke you a little bit with this next slide, which says, is your avatar a better researcher than you? And what I'm trying to say here is that research possibilities within the limits of Second Life, within the limits of the software, are endless. So I have been there on several occasions, and I'm sure most of you who have an avatar can say the same. And it's amazing to be there interacting with instructors who are searching similar areas that you are searching, and interact with them, ask them questions, or having them asking you questions, or sharing their research projects with you. And also, you know, being able to explore what this instructor, what this researcher has done in his or her particular university becomes a very interesting perspective. So again, not only email, which is sometimes very limited, but also having Second Life as a possibility of exploration. So researchers connect. And also you can see, for example, when there are new lab construction on new pedagogical environments where you can go there, make your avatar go there, and experiment as he or she goes to this virtual environment. And that's why I'm saying again, is your avatar a better researcher than you? That's the question to answer. And I'm going to invite you all to join this community, and those of you who are interested in Second Life as a research tool, to join this SLED community. And here is a website. And I don't know, but I would like, Craig, if you can add some comments to my invitation to this SLED. It would be very interesting if you can do, because I know you are a member and you have been very participant in this. So I'm going to pass you the microphone. Craig, if you can do some comments about it.
Oh, Martha, thank you very much. Totally off-the-cuff comment about SLED. Can everyone hear me all right? All right. Second Life Educators Group, I do recommend you folks sign up for this mailing list. It's very, very active. You'll probably want to have it automatically shuffled into a folder, or you're going to have your mailbox filled very quickly. It's a wide range of people who teach everything from English and psychology and mathematics to technical education and all kinds of things. These are all educators who are sort of pushing the edge on new technologies and exploring ways that virtual worlds can be used to enhance learning and engage the students. One of the things I'm very excited about with Second Life is trying to make my education a fraction as interesting and as captivating as video games are. You know, the people who have written video games have spent millions and millions of dollars to find a way of captivating the users of the games by keeping challenges just slightly beyond what the students are able to do, but keeping them interested enough to keep reaching forward and increasing the challenge as they go on. That's how video games work, and that's how they capture their participants, and that's the way we'd love to be able to capture our students' interest. Back to you, Martha.
Well, thank you very much, Craig. And Craig is going actually to be joining us. He's a creator among other instructors from manufacturing and automation, but he's one of the creators of the island we are going to be visiting in a minute. So let's go back to our presentation then. And yes, let's go. Let's explore a little bit. I'm going to present now what we have been doing here at SAIDE and what we have been doing in these two islands, one with the School of Information and Communication Technologies and the other one with manufacturing and automation. So, as I said before, at the very beginning of this presentation, our islands are still an ongoing research project. We have the framework, we have all the questions, and the next step for us is to bring the students and to see how the students are going to react once they are there and once they have the possibility of learning with these tools that we have prepared for them. So the first island is, as I said, the School of Information and Communication Technologies. And Dick Bourne has designed some kind of multimedia studio where students are able to move cameras, move the lighting, move objects within the studio to see it from a different perspective from the camera. Very, very interesting everything. And also he has done a kind of cowboy town so students can go there, do some filming of the process and learn about not only how to control a camera, but also how to control the setting, the lights, the participants, etc. And the second question, the second project is the one we have with Craig Menard, and he is what we have been exploring Second Life in the physics area and the mechanical movement. We are going to see it when we go to Second Life, Ina. And really, but students have been, also it's very important to mention this. The students, when they go to Second Life, can be there not only as the receivers of the information or the participants of the information, but they can also be the producers of what happens in Second Life. So it's very important to engage students in early stages of when we are producing our islands, when we are building our sites, because then students get more, they see it is something that belongs to them. The learning setting in general belongs to them, and this is a plus, as you may imagine, for learning. Students are learning because they have built what they are going to learn with, the learning objects. We are going to see much more about design when we go to Second Life. And then let me then now describe some projects for the future that we are working on as we go through the campus to present our project in Second Life, and we are bringing more users to it. So the School of Construction, we are exploring the possibility of building sites there to testing materials to developing skills with students in the School of Construction, electrical engineers, and the new bachelor degree in construction management. So this is one of our next projects. The next one is the School of Business, where we have the possibility of having forums there or dynamic environments, case study analysis to interact with. I was saying before that Harvard School has a very important presence in Second Life. Another project that we are working on at the moment is with the School of Health and Public Safety. Second Life has proved to be a very good simulation space to simulate with paramedic emergency situations or first aid simulations, hospital cares, and actually there are a good number of hospitals around the world, particularly in the U.S., who already have simulations going on Second Life for their students in the medical arena. And finally, this is the team of Second Life here at SAIT, the instructors, myself, and I'm going to mention here some sites where you can go ahead and explore more possibilities. It's a good thing that the slides are going to stay, so you can go back, explore these sites, and perhaps, you know, email me or email everybody with some more comments. So there are endless possibilities of research in Second Life and endless sources of information. Also some sites oriented to a particular program that you are involved with or a particular area of knowledge that you want to explore. And finally, before ending the presentation and going to some questions, answers, or comments, or going to the Second Life Island, I'm going to present you some possibilities, different possibilities of Second Life that are in use now. So one of them, the first one, is Cisco training, and Cisco is using Second Life to provide training, so the famous Cisco Academy network training for those who are preparing to be Cisco technology experts in networking. Cisco has a site there, and you can go and visit and explore it. Another one is to learn how to sail in Second Life, a very interesting place. And this is, well, you can see here the website, you can explore it. Another one is for self-paced tutorials. You can go to Ohio University, I was mentioning before, and you have lots of labs there to explore. You have a center for learning technologies that you can explore, where you can ask questions. You have also the library resources from Ohio University available through Second Life, several possibilities that Ohio provides. Then, of course, a very interesting thing to do is to explore museums in Second Life. You have the Space Flight Museum, and so you can see real-world spacecraft. You can explore them, walk around it with your avatar, learn from it, learn from the design. Also, the San Francisco Exploratory Museum, another very, very interesting site that has been built so avatars can go there and explore the site and explore the endless possibilities of the objects. Another one is about simulations. I mentioned that before, and emergency simulations with the University of Davis is a good example, with the health informatics program. So students learn how to react with a fire takes place or with a medical emergency comes about, and you need to solve it immediately. So these are very interesting tools, a couple of sites here. And that's it. I don't know. I'm sorry I didn't stop for questions. So please, let's go for questions, comments now before we go to our Second Life Island.
There's a question in the text box there, Martha, about whether you're using Sludl.
Yes, we are. We have started to use Sludl in combination with Second Life. And as Craig just answered the question, yes, we are. And this is, well, this brings yet another possibility for us to interact both synchronous and asynchronous with Sludl. So yes, we are.
I don't know also, Martha, whether you were able to see earlier, right at the beginning of your presentation, somebody put out the question about just asking how many of our institutions were already in Second Life, and the number that popped up, like I lost count of how many institutions just from people here in this session are already in Second Life was phenomenal.
Yes, I'm sorry, I wasn't really paying attention to this, to the dialogue, because it could be a little bit distracted, but yes, it's amazing how many people are there, how many institutions are there, and not only that, the possibilities of an institution to interact with Second Life, and I would like to underline this, because I know Athabasca has a campus there, and it's amazing to see from the beginning how they have developed all these endless possibilities to interact with students. Again, yes, it's very, very interesting to know there are people there and there are people using the possibilities of Second Life.
Yeah, it's so true. Also, I see it's going crazy in the text box here. Chris had a question. What's the feedback from students? I asked university students if they would be interested in Second Life, and most said no. And he's wondering, was that perhaps out of ignorance?
Well, yes, it's an interesting question, and as you presented at the beginning, I'm leading a research on our students' preferences for teaching and learning, and actually, really, we need to find out if students will go there, will enjoy the environment, or will rather use the environment only for personal issues. And I can quote some research that took place at British Columbia Institute of Technologies, where they went, where researchers led by Mark Bullen and Karen Belfer, they went to ask students there if they would like to have the presence of their instructors in private spaces like Facebook or Second Life. And really, students would rather have divided, you know, those tools that are used for education and those tools that are used for their personal use. So this is one of the challenges that we will find out when we go there and we start interacting with students and bringing students into the learning place or into Second Life. And yes, I can see some comments here from Chris and Maureen. Can you make some comments on your microphone, Chris and Maureen?
Sorry to interrupt. I see Maureen doesn't have a mic. Maybe you can post something there, Maureen. And I want to get back before we get too much text. Ray asked a question earlier, and that was, how many support staff are necessary to maintain and develop the Safe Island? How many instructional designers, graphic artists, etc.?
Well, this is an interesting question, because what we have learned here from our experience is that so far, what we have put in the island is only experimental level, and it's only the subject matter experts or the instructors themselves who have been doing all the programming, all the graphic design, everything. Really, at this point, so far, what we have done in Second Life is more thanks to the commitment of these instructors, innovative instructors, of course, to be there and to produce an attractive environment for the students more than bringing instructional designers or multimedia developers. Now, having said so, of course, with instructional designers and multimedia experts, the work can be much faster and much more productive and more smoothly for these SMEs who have put lots of hours, personal time, free time to be there and to be in Second Life producing these amazing sites.
Thank you for that, Martha. I see there was a lot of comments about poor graphics in Second Life and people bringing too much baggage to Second Life. I'm not sure what that means, or expectations, I guess, and people not wanting the hassle and students worried about it sucking up too much time. But it just leads me to think, isn't that where we were at, you know, a number of years ago with, you know, just doing online education of any form, really?
Yes, and let me add one question before I can see a hand raised there. But let me just ask that we are also at the very beginning of what Second Life could be. Really, we are seeing only the peak of the iceberg. There are many, many possibilities that haven't even been explored in Second Life. So as we are all exploring, as I was saying before, we are exploring, we are trying to research on the learning implications, but we are really at the very beginning. And of course, the students can complain about how much time demands Second Life or how much time consuming it is, but again, is like online learning or is like email at the very beginning. There was also the risk, but somehow people can have been able to admin that and dedicate some time to other issues as well.
Go ahead, Tim, and just click on the microphone.
Hi there. Thanks for your comments so far. They're really, really great to hear about this. My question is a little bit on the limitations of what Second Life has currently and about their philosophy that we're kind of running into at my institution, the University of Western Ontario, where we're trying to import into Second Life some First Life information, and that goes against their philosophy from time to time, and it makes it a little bit of a limitation on our front for an educational environment. I wondered what you had to think about that.
Thank you very much for your question. Yes, I think, and I was saying that a little bit before, I think the clue here is that the innovative mind or perspective of the instructor. So if you are going to explore an innovative sphere or possibility to bring into your day-to-day class or teaching or whatever, or lecturing, then from that perspective you need somebody who is open to change the way they're teaching, who is open to interact with the students. Some instructors have said, you know, I know because this is my research, instructors complain about if students demand too much time or if students want to us to dedicate too much time to the learning. Well, this has to change. This approach, really, when you go to Second Life, you have to be there for the students. You have to explore different possibilities, not only bring your old, traditional teaching with you, but being able to use the tools to interact with building different sites and to explore with your students. Again, the instructor becomes or stops to be the knowledge holder and starts to be the facilitator of knowledge. And he or she learns as their students learn and explore. This is really from my perspective.
Thanks for your response. So just a quick follow-up then. Is it possible to monitor students' usage of Second Life without actually being there from time to time, without breaking the privacy of their use of Second Life, to be able to understand how these net generations of users are actually using the technology such that we might be able to create better learning environments for their own methodologies?
Well, my answer to your question is both yes and no. Because, yes, you can monitor what your students have been doing. If they go to the island or the place that you have designed for them, and they build something. So, and whenever they leave, you know that whatever is built in the island is left behind. So you can, so from one perspective, yes, you can see the trace of their learning. But from another perspective, if you want to see what they are chatting about, what they are commenting about, that is a little bit more difficult. You have to be really present, and you have to be a witness of what is going on. So I think there are two levels, but I don't know, perhaps somebody else have other comments or some other experiences on this regard.
Martha, I'm going to jump in with a question that Ed's been waiting to have answered. It's a very interesting question, actually, he posted. I'll just read it to you. Some students will use Second Life for personal use as well as educational. If they bring in an avatar whose appearance is very elaborate but is questionable in regards to real-life student conduct, code of conduct, for example, their hair is non-human or their see-through clothing, that kind of thing, do we reward them for their ability to get their avatar to look like that as far as design abilities or research or 3D creation skills, or do we put real-life limitations on them? Your thoughts?
Well, yes, actually, if we think about an offensive conduct or something that really offends participants in Second Life, well, then we have to, I even know that Linden Lab is dealing with lots of that, how to avoid offensive conduct in general in Second Life. But, of course, I think you can promote your students or you can congratulate your students when they show some initiatives, when they show some innovations, but, of course, again, it also has the restrictions of others, and if this conduct or way of thinking or way of dressing or whatever is offensive to others, then of course I think there are some ethics codes that you have to follow even if you are in Second Life or in a Second Life environment, definitely. I don't know if I answered the question properly. Please let me know.
Thanks, Martha. I'm just scrolling back because there was quite a few questions posted. Oh, dear, and I've lost them now. There was, sorry. Jim asked, what about confidentiality and can a site be password limited for collaboration only to members of a group? I believe the answer is yes, but I'll let Martha answer that.
Yes, definitely you can have a confidential conversation within only the members. You can do that, and Second Life allows you to do that. And I saw a question here a little bit before that one, which says about virtual deans or virtual professors. And well, let me tell you, it's a very, very interesting thing, and I think that would be like my ideal way to do it. There are people, there are professors who are full-time researchers or full-time professors in Second Life. And I think this is very interesting how come Second Life has become so popular that these instructors or professors can be there all the time and can be teaching all the time as a full-time job. So I think it's fantastic. And yes, you can have a full-time professor or a full-time dean in Second Life.
Thanks, Martha. I'm trying desperately to scroll through the text here and pick out questions, but there's just been so much feedback going back and forth, and the good news with that is that a lot of the group are answering the questions for you. Some of the group here that are more experienced in Second Life. So it's just been, it's been a very exciting forum, and everybody's getting a lot of feedback from the collaboration, and I really appreciate that. And before we go any further, I know people have other commitments, and we'd like to get into Second Life and continue the discussion there. So I'd like to thank you very much, Martha, for agreeing to present to us here in CIDR. I know so many people are interested in what's going on in Second Life, and a lot of people here would like to experiment a bit there, and I'm going to ask when we do go into Second Life if, again, there, some of the people who are experienced in there could help out those who aren't. It would be a big help to all of us, and I'd like to make this a collaborative learning experience. And I also want to mention our next, sorry, I didn't see who's got their hand up there. Ray, I'll get to you in a second here, okay? Our next CIDR session is also going to be about education in 3D virtual worlds. It's going to be a group presentation from Appalachian University, and I'll just give you a little information on that. It's going to include Stephen Bronick, Robert Saunders, Amelia Cheney, Richard Rydell, John Tashner, and Nita Mattson from Appalachian State University. And they're going to be talking about their latest paper, which was in the International Journal of Teaching and Learning in Higher Education, and the work that they've been doing in a 3D world called AET Zone. So different from Second Life, but the same kind of premise. So I'm very interested to see that, because that'll be our first time going to a 3D world that wasn't Second Life. So hopefully you can join us for that next month. And thank you again for joining us here today. And to those people who don't have avatars set up yet, I'm going to give you the link so that you can create an account in Second Life if you're interested. There you go. And get your avatar set up, and perhaps if you're quick enough, you can come join us in on the Slate Island. Also, as I mentioned earlier, all of the recordings, MP3 and the Illuminate recording of this presentation are going to be in on the CIDR website, and also the PowerPoint presentation. So you can access those at this link. Okay? And before we go here, again, I'd like to thank you, Martha, for your time and for continuing on in Second Life. And I see Craig has posted the Slurl to the Slate Island in Second Life, so you just need to click on there. And yes, I think Ray had a question, Martha, so I'll let him get to that before we close up here.
No, actually, I was just going to add my thanks very much. I'm struggling with the buttons here a little bit, and I probably hit the wrong one again. But thank you very much, Ms. Merkel. We look forward to seeing you perhaps at the CNIE conference later in the year. Goodbye.
Well, thank you so much for you and for all. It has been really my pleasure to be here. And I invite you all to have your avatar come to Second Life, visit us there, enjoy it, you know, have your own enjoyment, do that on your personal time, do it with your students, and really explore this fabulous and fantastic opportunity to teach and learn. And yes, let's meet all in the island right now. Second, Lynn, also thank you so much, Lynn, for your fantastic moderation.
It's a pleasure. And Martha, do you want to remind everybody, I can't remember what slide it is, who you are in Second Life, because we all go by our other names.
Yes, my name is Lindsay Melnick, and we are already there. I'm Klaatu Maynard is Craig, who was in the conversation as well. And well, normally what happens is that Second Life provides you the surname, and you should choose your first name. So my first name is Lindsay because I like very much Lindsay Davenport, the tennis player, but that's not important. The important thing is that we are there, and we please come and join us. I can see many participants going there. And thank you so much. We will continue this presentation in Second Life.
Hi, sorry, I'm just going to address Julie's problem. I see you said Mac doesn't recognize the slurl. What you can do is, if you're already in Second Life and have an avatar there, just open it up, and wherever you are, you go to World, I believe it is, and you can type in what island it is that you want to go to. And help me out, Craig or Martha, if you're still here. I think it's Slate MA. And, Slate MA, not Slat MA, and you can get there that way, okay? Ishwar asked, why does Second Life provide last names? I have no idea, Ishwar. Perhaps somebody else does. Nope, I don't think anyone has the answer to that one, Ishwar. Sorry, unless it's maybe because there's limited space, perhaps. Oh, there's a few ideas coming through in the text box. Anyways, thank you for the feedback from people. And I'm going to turn off the recording here so it doesn't go on too long, and hopefully we'll see some of you in Second Life.